Let me talk to you this morning, in this time that we have together, about the oasis of En Gedi that all of us need to have in En Gedi. Where is your En Gedi? Where is that place of oasis where you can draw away and you can get alone with God and you can have that restoration and refreshment and renewal? Where is that place that you need?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of En Gedi, an oasis in the wilderness. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of En Gedi, an oasis in the wilderness.
We started a series last week entitled Spiritual Lessons from Biblical Places. Last week we looked at Masada, and the title of our message was God is My Masada. And Masada is a place on the western coast of the Dead Sea that was almost impenetrable, and nobody could get to Masada. It was defensible and just a ideal place to have a civilization. You had all the natural defenses, and we talked about how that God is our Masada and how he puts us on that high place and keeps us safe from the enemy. We looked at that song, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, and we said that that word fortress is actually the word Masada, and that God is our, a mighty fortress or a mighty Masada is our God. Continuing on with our study this week, we want to look at a place called En Gedi. And En Gedi is a place in the wilderness that is an oasis to those who would come across it. I was going to make a statement this morning, but I said I better not make it because I may offend somebody, but I'll just give the illustration. And the illustration is, when I used to play football back in the 70s, right? The coaches, now today there's this philosophy that, you know, you drink all the water that you can drink. And so you see football players, basketball players, the whole time that they're playing, they got water, bottle of water in their hand. You go to the gym, people got bottles of water that they take with them to exercise. When I played football, it wasn't like that. You might have got the whole time one water break. You know, and if you went over there and the coaches saw you by the water, hey, Glaze, get away from that water. Yes, man, we grew up in a hard time. You know, today some of them coaches, man, they'd be reported for abuse, right? You know, you what? They can't drink water the whole time? But in the middle of practice, and I can remember being out there on them hot August days where you're sweaty and sweat is rolling in your eyes and your lips are parched and dry, and the coach finally said that you could go get a water break. Man, that was one of the most refreshing things of that day. You look forward to that water break. And as we look at our lesson for today, we see that there are a lot of people that are out in the wilderness and they're dry and they're parched, and you need a place where you can go and be refreshed. Thank God for En Gedi. And what is En Gedi? En Gedi is that place that you can get away to find that refreshment. En Gedi is that place that where you can get away to find that refuge. En Gedi is that place where you can find to get away to be renewed and restored. Thank God for the En Gedis of life. You see a picture of En Gedi up on the screen. The word En Gedi means a fountain of the kid or the goat. En Gedi, if you'll go to the next slide. Last week we looked at Masada, and we talked about Masada, and we see here goes the Dead Sea. And Masada is located on the western shore of the Dead Sea. And we see this place called En Gedi. And En Gedi is about halfway between the northern and southern tip of the Dead Sea. And it's right here on the western side. And if we could look and see the landscape around En Gedi, that En Gedi is mostly a desert land. And as we consider En Gedi, if you'll go to the next slide, we see here that this is the territory that's around En Gedi. And in here, there's a lot of caves, and there's a lot of places where you can hide out. And so David, as he ran from Saul, this is where David fled in the wilderness. When we read in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 14 and 15, that David fled from Saul and that he ran to a desert place, this is where David was at, hiding out in the dens and caves in the mountains. And not far from here on one of these mountains was what we looked at last week, was Masada. But if you'll go to the next slide, David spent time at En Gedi. Now, you'll notice on the top here, it's the same thing that we saw on the slide before. It's all desert, it's all dry, and it's all barren. If we would look around this place, we would see the same rock formation. But in the middle of the desert is this place called En Gedi. The spring that flows out of the mountain that causes this pool where people who are in the desert can come and be refreshed. En Gedi is an oasis in the wilderness. And as we look at the lesson today, I want to say that sometimes life can be a desert. And if we think about a desert is characterized by three things, by dryness, by barrenness, and there's a lot of wind that we see in the desert. And our lives sometimes can be like that desert place where we cry out to God in the midst of our dryness. Look at Psalm 32 and verse 4. And David, in Psalm 32 and verse 4, he cries out to God. And he says that there's all these problems in his life, and that God had actually began to put even his hand against David. And David says in Psalm 32 and verse 4, he said, "For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture turned into the drought of the summer." Maybe you're here today, and your moisture, and what is moisture? Moisture is your vitality. Maybe somebody said something to you or somebody did something to you that just zapped the moisture out of your life. Maybe something happened in your life that just caused the moisture of your life to be drawn out of you. The little bit of moisture that you had, you had an overextended dry period in your life, and the sun stayed up too long in the sky, and it just dried out all the moisture that was in your life. And David said that my moisture, my vitality, my enthusiasm, my encouragement has turned into the drought of summer. Maybe this is your plight this morning. Life has done you in. As I said before, there are three things about the desert. It's dry, it's barren, and it's windy. It's dry. Maybe you've had an illness, or maybe you've had a loss in your life that has just left you high and dry. The desert is barren. It's a fruitless place. Maybe you've been dealing with discouragement. Maybe you've been dealing with disappointment. Maybe you were depending on something to happen, and all of a sudden the bottom fell out. And now your place of moisture has become fruitless, has become a barren place. Maybe you're in a windy place. I remember when I was visiting my son in Arizona, and we drove across the desert to Tucson, I saw a sign that, as somebody said, just scared all of it out of me. There was a sign, and these signs were posted all along the way in the Arizona desert. And it said, in case of windstorm, zero visibility. And I thought to myself, I said, Lord, while I'm driving through this desert, please do not let a windstorm come through here. And as we were driving, I could see little swirls coming up, man, and my heart started boom, 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 boom. I said, I don't want to be driving through zero visibility. So the desert is a windy place, the wind of opposition from Satan, the wind of opposition from your enemies, the wind of opposition from even your loved ones that can blow against you and begin to dry you out and begin to affect your life. You see, sometimes life is a desert, and if you could go back to that scene with the desert of the dryness and look at this and see, here David is wandering in the wilderness, in the Judean wilderness, dry and parched, and then all of a sudden, put up that next slide, he comes to this place that's called En Gedi. And how refreshing that must be. And how in the midst of his dry experience, he's able to come to a place of refreshing and encouragement and restoration. Let me talk to you this morning, in this time that we have together, about the oasis of En Gedi that all of us need to have an En Gedi. Where is your En Gedi? Where is that place of oasis where you can draw away and you can get alone with God and you can have that restoration and refreshment and renewal? Where is that place that you have? Oh, I thank God that my time with En Gedi, and you know, I was thinking maybe in my study just put up a big sign that says En Gedi, that my time of En Gedi is that time I wake up in the morning, when I can go and sit in his presence before him, and whatever it is that has weighted on my heart and weighted on my spirit, whatever it is that has troubled me, I can find that quiet place where I can hear his voice and seek his face. I can find my En Gedi. Maybe your En Gedi is sometime during the day when you can slip away, as the slaves used to sing, steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Maybe that your En Gedi is that time where you can steal away. Or maybe your En Gedi is in the evening before you go to bed, when you can restore to that quiet oasis and God just nourishes and refreshes your spirit. Before I share with you about this oasis of En Gedi, I want to share with you what I think, and you may talk to somebody else and they'll tell you something else, but I want to share with you four books that I think you should have during your time at En Gedi, whenever that is. And maybe your En Gedi might be 5 minutes. Maybe your En Gedi might be an hour. Your En Gedi might be 2 hours. But what are four books that you should have in your time of En Gedi? Well, the first book, you know what I'm going to say. I don't even have to try to hold you in suspense. You know what I'm going to say. The first book you need is the Bible. That in your time of En Gedi, you need to have the Word of God. And maybe there's a favorite passage, or maybe you're reading through the Bible, or maybe you're going through some other plan that takes you through the Scripture, but you need to have a Bible during your time of En Gedi, because it's the Word of God that will encourage you. It's the Word of God that will sustain you. It's the Word of God that will carry you through. You need to have a Bible during your time of En Gedi. The next book that you need to have in the time of your En Gedi, and I'm using this book symbolically to represent any type of music, but I'm saying a song book. That during your time of En Gedi, you don't necessarily need a song book. It may be a CD. It may be a DVD. But you need to have a song in your heart during the time of En Gedi, a song that will take you through your day. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I tell you one song that stayed on my heart all last week. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, a helper he amidst the flood of mortal ills prevailing. I like the one part that says, and still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we, in our own strength, confide? Our striving would be losing. Oh, this song took me, it took me through. We're not the right man on our side. The man of God's own choosing doth ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. Oh, I got that song in my time of Engedi, and it refreshed me and it encouraged me, and it took me through. You need a songbook during your time in Engedi, a song that will last you throughout the day. Another book that you might want to take during your time of Engedi is a book that has ministered to you specially. It may be a devotional book. It may be the Daily Bread. It may be Streams in the Desert. It may be some type of daily devotional that you can go to, and it will give you a thought that will give you strength and help you to go on. One of the books that I love during my time of Engedi is this book here. It's called Letter to Pastors. And in this book, it lets pastors know that if you're pastoring a church, that you're going to be dealing with issues and you're going to be dealing with problems. And this book is a refreshing oasis to me as I read it, and it gives these situations that go on in the church. No, there's no problems in the church. Ron Walters, there's no problems in the church. Yeah, and if you believe that, I got some oceanfront property in Kansas that I want to sell you. But it tells you as a pastor how to be ready to deal with the situations. On the back of the book, it says, pastoring, stress-free. I don't think so. You need a devotional book during your time of Engedi. You need a book where somebody has ministered to your heart in particularly. A devotional book. And then the final book that I would recommend during your time at Engedi, and I just bought this one because the other one I have, I've just about written it out, and that is you need a prayer book. You need a book that you can record your prayers. You need a book that you can put an outline that tells you how to pray. You need a book where you can put your loved ones in it and pray for them. You need a book. Now, once again, I'm saying the book symbolically. Maybe you don't need a book. Maybe it just flows off of your mind and off of your head, and you don't need a book. But I'm using these books symbolically to say that you need to have a prayer book. And if I will take these four books, now, you know, the beautiful thing is that when I go to Engedi, that sometimes I may use all four books. And then during my time of Engedi, there's sometimes I might just stay in the song book. Then there's sometimes I might get in the prayer book and in the Bible. And then there's other times I might get into the devotional book, into the song book. And then sometimes I'll just meditate on a verse. And God will restore me and refresh me in those times. So I recommend those four books at your time and during your time of Engedi. Engedi is a refuge in the desert. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23. And we see in this particular passage here that Saul is jealous because the number one song on the charts at that time was Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000. And so that was the song on the chart. And Saul didn't like that being the number one song because it didn't put him in the top dog position. And so Saul got mad at David. And one day when David was playing his harp, Saul took a javelin and threw it at David. And somehow it missed him. And then David fled into the wilderness. And as David fled into the wilderness, look what it says here. In verse 26, and Saul went on the side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul, for Saul and his men were compassing David and his men round about to take them. And even if we back up for 1 second, back up to the preceding verse, Saul also and his men went to seek him, And they told David wherefore he came down to a rock and abode in the wilderness at Maon. And Saul heard that he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. So David is in the wilderness running from Saul. And look at verse 29. And David went up from there. Went up from where? Went up from the wilderness. Went up from Maon and dwelt at the strongholds of En-Gedi. David, in order to get away from his pursuers, David, in order to get away from his tormentors, from those who were after him, David found refuge in En-Gedi. And for David, En-Gedi not only became this place where this fountain was, but En-Gedi became this place of refuge. It became this place where he could hide. I had an uncle. My uncle's name was Uncle Jackie. He went home to be with the Lord a couple of years ago. But I remember every time I used to see Uncle Jackie, and I would ask Uncle Jackie, "How you doing?" He would always say this, "I'm taking a beating. I'm taking a beating." And sometimes I just wanted to tell Uncle Jackie, "Look, you need to find refuge in God and let him take the beating." Oh, hallelujah. You need to find that hiding place. You need you see, when I'm out here in the world and I'm taking a beating, I mean, I'm taking the royal beatdown, and emotionally I'm being drained, spiritually I'm being drained, physically I'm being drained, and the attacks are coming against me. I need to slip away to my place of refuge. I need to slip away to my En-Gedi, and I need to get alone and let God protect me and let God love me and let God nurture me and let God take the blows that are coming against me. I need to find that place called En-Gedi. But see, many of us, when we are being attacked, the one thing that we want to do, we want to roll up our sleeves and we want to start to fight back. And we should realize that the first thing that we need to do, that if I'm in a situation where I'm being criticized, I'm in a situation that I'm being put down, I'm in a situation where I'm being ridiculed, that my natural tendency is to want to strike back. But I might be sitting there, and somewhere in deep down in my soul, somewhere deep down in my spirit, I need to go to my En-Gedi. And you know what? I might not get up. I might not move from the spot that I'm on. I might just be sitting there. And somebody might say, "Well, what's he doing?" And nobody else will know what he's doing. But I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to. I'm going to En-Gedi. I'm going to En-Gedi. I'm resorting to that place where, even though you're attacking me, I'm resorting to that place where I can find refuge and protection. Look at Psalm 61. Psalm 61, verses 2 and 3. Psalm 61. Verses 2 and 3. From the earth, from the end of the earth, I will cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of En-Gedi, an oasis in the wilderness. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, En-Gedi, an oasis in the wilderness, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request En-Gedi, an oasis in the wilderness. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request En-Gedi, an oasis in the wilderness. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.